Change is one of the hardest things about education. At this point in the school year, maybe you are experiencing some hard because you are changing grade levels, or you are changing curriculum, or maybe you are changing buildings. Change is one of those things that pushes outside of our comfort zone. It causes us to have to ask a lot of questions. Change is one of those things that gets us out of our routines, and that can be incredibly difficult. And I think one thing that we have to consider at this point in the school year is the change that is going to be happening for students next year. All of our students are going to be changing grade levels. Some of our students are going to be changing buildings, going from elementary to middle school or from a junior high to a high school. And those changes can bring on a lot of anxiety. It can bring on a lot of stress. It can bring on a lot of questions. But one of the coolest things about change is we can make proactive, positive decisions to help ease in that transition, to help to make sure that when the next school year starts, our kids are feeling calm, confident, and comfortable as they conquer the new school year. And I think that's why we have to host really good orientations. We have to have really good transition plans to help parents, to help principals, to help students, to help staff members. And that's exactly what I want to dive into in this episode. As a classroom teacher over the years, I have helped to create these transition plans for my own students and in other school districts that I consult with. And let me tell you, if we've got good plans in place for an orientation remix or being open-minded to the way that we host open houses, I think that we can set ourselves up for so much success. So if you are trying to be proactive right now as you plan for upcoming things, this is the episode for you. If you find yourself listening at a different time of the year and you're like, dang, we already hosted an open house or we already hosted an orientation and maybe it didn't go quite according to plan, maybe the problem solving wasn't quite there, then guess what? You have an opportunity to do even more and to level up the next time around. So let's get into this episode because I think you're going to love it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. When I was a student, I attended a very small school. I'm talking like in my K through sixth grade class, there were only 18 students. And those were really the only 18 kids that I knew between the ages of like 4 and 12. And so when I went from going to that super small elementary school to the local middle school, and now all of a sudden I didn't have 18 classmates, I had 225 classmates. I remember thinking, this is the best thing ever. I have so many opportunities for friends. I have so many new opportunities for clubs and sports and activities, and I absolutely thrived in middle school. If you take that exact same situation and look at family members of mine, or if you look at peers of mine, they experienced something very different. I had family and friends who did not thrive in that first year of being in a new school setting, in a new middle school or in a new high school setting. I remember that I had friends who would cry every single day on the first day of seventh grade because they were wildly overwhelmed. They went from seeing one teacher a day to seven teachers a day. They went from having like five friends to the opportunity to have so many friends, and they couldn't figure out how to make friends and how to be more social. And what I've experienced now as a teacher are both of those things. I can see my own students who absolutely thrive in a new school setting, and I see students who struggle academically and emotionally and socially. And so I think as teachers, what we have to do to make sure that we can set up 100% of our students for success is to have a system and a structure in place so that all the stresses, all the struggles, all of the things that are absolutely causing our kids to freak out are actually taken care of in a proactive way. And I think that needs to be done as kids go from elementary school to middle school, or from middle school to high school, or junior high to high school. Or I also think this is true within your own building. If you're a K-5 building, I think the transition from kindergarten to first grade can be tough. I think the transition from fourth grade to fifth grade can be difficult. So what can we do to make sure that the start of every school year is really, really successful, simply because a lot of the stressors have already dissipated? What I want to do is tell you about something that we do in my current school district. And that is actually that we host a sixth grade orientation during the months of April or May. So before school ever lets out, before the final bell of the school year rings, we invite parents into the school. We invite kids into the school to say, hey, we know that there are some special times coming up. Your sixth grader is going to be a seventh grader in a new building. We want to support you way before that process ever begins, so you're not stressing out during the summer break. And I think that is a really cool thing. And I think the way that we do it is kind of unique, and I want to tell you about it. So we host like a parent night that invites all raisins, parents, grandparents, step parents, aunts, uncles, raisins, anyone who's raising the kids is able to come into the building, meet the principal, go on tours, and just say, hey, I'm an adult who's freaking out because my kid is freaking out, and they can ask the really hard questions. They can ask those questions that usually start with, I know this sounds silly, but... But I don't actually think that's silly. We can give our raisins, we can give student parents the time and the space to ask those questions, as silly as they may seem, because if that can cause you to have a better experience in schools, then we're here to answer them. It's just this open space to say, come meet the school leader, come to the building when nobody is in there, and you can just walk with your kid. You can take a look at the lockers. You can be in this new space that you're going to be in for the next few years. I love that. But the next part of this is what I love even more, is we actually host our student orientation during the school day. That means kids are in the building, bells are ringing, lunch is being served. Like, we say, we want you to come and experience a day of what it's like to be in the junior high while the junior high is actually going on. We want you to have the sights and the smells of the school when we are fully functioning as a junior high. And this is really cool. So we bus the kids over from the sixth grade to our building across town for seventh grade. Now, your school district might be set up different. You might be in a K-5 building and kids make this transition in sixth grade. I understand that junior highs and middle schools and high schools and elementary pods, they're all set up different. So you can kind of insert your grade level to figure out what this would be like. But we bus our kids over and we say, hey, meet us in the library, meet us in the gym, meet us in the auditorium. And we want you, as kids who are gonna be students here next year, to meet students who are currently here now. And so for me, for my building, that means that these now sixth graders get to meet current seventh graders and current eighth graders. And not just meet, but like we engage these kids. We've got eighth graders who are hosting tours for the sixth graders. We make sure that every single sixth grader meets every single teacher that they're going to have next year, because these kids are going from one teacher a day to 7 to 8 teachers a day. And that's a big change. So if we can make sure that kids are meeting them and seeing them face to face and making that connection early, heck yes. We also have students doing activities with these kids. Call them icebreakers, call them like little fun activities. It doesn't matter what you call them, but what's important is that these kids are interacting and getting to spend time with the peers who they are going to walk side by side with next year. In fact, I want to tell you about a specific activity that my students did last year that was an absolute smash. And I can take no credit for this because I had a group of seventh graders come up with this idea. My seventh graders are like, wouldn't it be so fun if we did a scavenger hunt? And the whole class is like, yeah, let's do a scavenger hunt. And I got a little nervous because I can just see this just derailing very quickly, where we're like, yeah, kids who are brand new to this building, go run around and find things in the building. Like, I just knew that we were gonna have to remix this. And so I expressed my concerns to the kids and they're like, yeah, but we want to get these kids up and moving. We can't just be having them sit in the gym or sit in the library. Can we get them up and moving? And I'm like, I hear you and I love this. So they said, what if we actually created like a communication scavenger hunt where they had like a sheet of paper and they had to find people around the room who fit into a certain category? Like, go find somebody who has blue eyes. Go find somebody who wears glasses. And I was like, okay, now I think we're getting somewhere. But can we personalize this even more? These sixth graders are coming into orientation and they're probably freaking out about lockers. They're probably freaking out about how to go to lunch. They're probably really scared about, you know, how to organize a binder. What if we took all of these ideas, smashed them together, and we did a scavenger hunt? But they were forced to communicate with you guys as current junior high students about topics that they are probably nervous about. And a student raised their hand and they said, what if each of us came up with a statement and they had to find the person in the room who made that statement? And I said, well, give me an example. And they said, what if it was like mine? And I said, who bought a special binder? Because they were afraid to go to their locker in between classes because they were really scared that they would be late each day. And I was like, wait, is that true? And the student said, yeah, that was my number one fear as a sixth grader. It was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so late because I don't know about this locker situation. So my mom bought me a special zipper binder. And another student said, like, oh my gosh, I'll tell you what my biggest fear is. And I was like, well, what was your biggest fear? And they're like, I was really worried about getting bad grades because my parents have really high expectations. And I knew that having 7 different teachers was going to make it more likely that I forget about something. And then that would mean that I would get grounded and then I couldn't hang out with my friends and then maybe not try out for the basketball team. And I was like, dang, that was a fear. He's like, yeah, it was my number one fear. And then another student said, like, oh, I'll tell you what I was worried about. I was worried because right at the end of sixth grade, I got glasses and I had never had glasses. And I was worried that I was going to get made fun of for having glasses. Another student said, I was nervous that I wasn't going to be able to manage being a student athlete because I knew that I wanted to cheer. I knew that I wanted to play volleyball, but I also knew that this is the very first time that I had to be a student and an athlete at the same time. And the school says in order to be a student athlete, you have to be passing all of your classes. And so all of a sudden these kids who are junior high kids are saying, I remember when I was in sixth grade, what I was totally freaking out about. And I was like, you guys, this is forming into the greatest idea ever. Because the amount of communication and the amount of connection that we can make by doing this as a scavenger hunt is so awesome. So we created this grid that had all of the student statements, and then next to the student statements, there was a signature line. And every single one of these sixth graders got this sheet of paper, and they had to go around the library and talk to other junior high kids and say, hey, I was reading this thing that said that you hate bringing homework home because it takes up all your free time and you'd rather be doing chores so you can get paid. Is that you? Was that what you were freaking out about? And if the kid was like, yes, that's me, they signed it. They put their name on it and they got to make that connection. And if it wasn't that kid, they put an X there and said, nope, better go find somebody else and make that connection. This was incredible. Students came up with it. They were walking around the library. They were laughing. Kids were like, oh man, I cannot believe this. I can't find the person. It created camaraderie. It created connection. It created good communication. And it was so cool. Have you ever had your students plan for upcoming students? Have you ever had your current junior high kids create the orientation for the upcoming junior high kids? And you could apply this to same thing with like fifth graders going to sixth grade or second graders going to third grade. Is there a way that your school can come together and say, here's what we're doing. We're creating transition days. On Monday in the last week of May, we're going to have the second graders spend a day in third grade. On Tuesday, we're going to have third graders spend a day in fourth grade. On Wednesday, we're going to have fourth graders spend a day in fifth grade so they can meet the teachers. They can understand the expectations. They can start to just marinate on the changes that are going to be happening. These plans can actually cause your school to freaking thrive. And here's another thing that happened for my own students is we actually served lunch to them. Lunch is run a little bit different at a junior high than it is in an elementary school. So while the sixth graders were in our seventh grade building with our junior high kids, we had them eat lunch. We had them tour the lockers. Like I said, they got to meet all of the teachers. They were there for approximately 3.5 hours. It doesn't have to be a whole day. It doesn't even have to be 3.5 hours. I think we could have probably made it happen in a little shorter period of time too. But the whole goal is, what could that look like in the context of your classroom? What could that look like? What are the details for your district? Because I want to add one more thing to this. If you want to just blow this next orientation, this next open house out of the water, I think yes, do this student-centered day in April or May. But then about 2 weeks before the start of the school, I want you to invite parents in the building. I want you to invite students into the building. Grandparents, step-parents, aunts, uncles, whoever's going to be playing a major role in the life of the kid, invite them into the building. Together, the kids and the adults. Then what I want you to do is I want you to give every single kid a copy of their schedule. Okay? Now they know exactly what period they have these teachers. They know exactly where that room is located. They know their locker number. They know their cubby number. And now they can really make this come to life. And then I think those students should actually be doing something separate from the adults. I think now that the adults had already come to like an orientation in the spring, now it's go time. Now it's real because their kids are going to be starting the new grade level or the new building. And they probably have some new concerns. They probably have some new questions. Now they probably want to know about things like dress code. Okay, dress code's going to come up and they want to know what are the expectations for how kids dress in this building. I guarantee you that's going to come up. They want to know about reporting absences. They want to know about tardies. They want to know about lunch count and lunch money. The things that weren't really on their radar in the spring are now hyper heightened now because now school is starting in a couple of weeks. So you might be thinking, but what am I going to do with these parents while the kids are meeting the teachers and actually going through their schedule? What are the adults doing? One, doing Q&A with the principal. But here's the home run idea. This this idea actually makes me emotional because this is one of the coolest things that my former school district did that I taught at. The current school district that I've been at now for 6 years has taught me a lot with the orientation process. But one thing that my previous school district did that gives me goosebumps, it gives me chills, is this. While your adults are at that orientation and they're done with the Q&A and you have relieved a lot of the stress, you've removed a lot of the struggle of what is it going to be like when my kid is in this new building with these new teachers and this new school year. Now that they are feeling a little bit more relaxed, get out some stinking notebook paper and pass out pens. And have every single one of those parents, have every single one of those raisins write their kiddo a letter. A first week of school letter. And give them the time and the space to just reflect on how proud these parents, how absolutely rewarding it is for these raisins to see these kids grow up and do something new, do something different, do something challenging. Have them write a letter to their kid for that very first week of school. And those letters are going to magically appear in their lockers during that first week of school. And can you imagine a sixth grader or a seventh grader who's freaking out and they're frustrated because their locker's not opening and they're nervous they're going to be tardy for class and they maybe didn't have a friend to sit next to at lunch. They arrive at their locker and they see a letter in an envelope that's been sealed by their parent and it just says, from mom, from dad, from grandma. And they open up that letter and they see love and they see laughter and they see support and they get smiles from something that their loved one wrote for this exact moment. That is proactive and that is positive and that is stinking powerful. And it's a highly recommend activity. Now, what do you do for those kids who maybe don't have an adult who show up for the orientation? Simple. You have teachers write letters. You actually say to the parents during orientation, hey, thank you so much for picking up a pen and putting some passion on paper. We understand that not all parents could be here today. So if you happen to have some extra time, would you just write a letter? And you don't have to put a name at the top. Could you just write a letter for a student so we have extras? So that means that all 225 students are getting a letter, that all 150 seventh graders are getting a letter on the very first day of school. If that is not going to create some momentum and some positive mindset on that first week of school, I don't know what would. There are so many little tips that have just been packed into this episode. So I want to do a quick recap. Invite the adults of students into the building in the spring. I know that we got baseball season going on. I know that spring soccer has started. I know that there's graduation parties out the wazoo right now. I know it's a wild time of year. But if we always say, well, no one's going to show up because it's a wild time of year, then guess what? Nothing's going to get done. We're going to cancel everything. It's always a wild time of year, you guys. So give parents the proactive space to ask questions and invite them into the building, invite them into the hallway, invite them into your rotunda, if you will, proactively. Host students in the building while school is going on so they can meet peers that who have walked this same process. Then in August or right before school starts, about 2 weeks before school starts, invite both groups in, students and their raisins. Have them do separate activities. The kids are walking their schedule. The kids are trying their lockers 842 times before they finally get that click and it opens and they celebrate and they scream in the hallway because they're so stinking proud of themselves. While kids are doing that, parents are doing another Q&A with the principal. And they are also writing those positive, profound letters to just say, I'm proud of you. Welcome to the first week in your new school year. Welcome to the first week in your new building. The ideas here are so good, and I cannot wait to hear how those go in your school. I cannot wait for you to implement those and then report back and tell me, like, hey, how'd it go? If you are looking for more ways to make genuine connections with kids, if you are looking for these just proactive approaches to relationship building, social and emotional learning, getting kids' college, career, and life ready, and taking the stresses of school and kind of creating this shift of, no, things are different here, this year is different, then I do want to remind you about something called 180 Days of Awesome SEL. If you've never heard of this, this is 180 fully planned lessons that are perfect for morning meeting, advisory, homeroom, social and emotional learning, whatever kind of time that you have for students that can honestly sometimes feel like free time. It can feel like free for all time. It can feel like one more thing on your plate. Then I want you to know that 180 Days of Awesome SEL is there for you. 180 fully planned lessons that are aligned to the character values that we want to see in our kids. They are aligned to the core values of what make kids great on a social and emotional learning level. There are two versions of this, one that is perfect for lower elementary and then another one that is perfect for upper elementary and into middle school. In fact, I've even used that version with early high school. You can check out the 180 Days of Awesome SEL fully planned lessons at monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL. I'm also going to put a direct link for that in the show notes so you can check it out and access that. That way, all of your SEL planning is done for not just the end of this school year, but so you have every single lesson prepped and ready to go for the upcoming school year. Friends, I hope that these tips on creating an awesome open house and an awesome orientation bring your students and bring your schools to whole new levels. I want to thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Make sure you click follow, make sure you click subscribe so that these episodes are dropping into your podcast platform every single week. Thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.